Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the currents and the waves live. At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening, good evening. This is the Poetic Energy Radio Show, and I am Poetic Energy herself, and I am so delighted to be on the show, on the air this evening, to talk to you again about understanding wealth and tips for regular folks. It's a continuation from our October 11th show. Tonight we will be giving just having candid conversation about finances and giving you guys a little bit of information and hopefully some inspiration to change your financial status. I do have some other attendees that will be on the panel this evening. Hopefully we can connect them in fairly soon. It looks like we have someone here. Let me see if this is one of my panelists for this evening. Call the 773. You're on the air with Poetic Energy.
Hello.
Yes,
this is Emmanuel.
You're on the air.
Hi, this is Emmanuel.
Hi, Emmanuel. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Glad to hear you this evening. Glad to have you on the panel this evening again.
Is Black Homeschoolers going to be with us too?
I believe so. They will be joining us a little bit later. They did call and say that they were going to be joining the panel as soon as they could.
Okay.
We have about an hour, 30 minutes on the show. But I'm so glad that you're here. Okay, folks, we do have our panelists, one of our panelists here with us, author Emmanuel Barbie. We're so glad to have him here to, join in the discussion of understanding wealth and tips for us regular folks. Well, I'm just going to get it started here. I really wanted to do these shows because it's coming up on a lot of things are going on in the economy, and people are experiencing such hardship. But I want to do these shows because I want to encourage people to take control of their own finances. It's very easy to just blame the president and the economy for your financial situation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not insensitive to people's financial state. I'm just saying we have to get into the state of mind where we begin to take control of our own finances, our own circumstances, our own situations, because no one else is going to do it for us. So this is why I wanted to do these shows, to give some helpful tips, hopefully to encourage people to take the advice that we give and share with you and to implement it in some part of your life if it fits into something that you feel that you can commit to. I really wanted to do these shows because I know Christmas time is coming, and these are around us, Thanksgiving and Christmas, these are a lot of times when people are spending so much money for presents for their children and family members. I don't oppose celebrating Christmas or the holidays, but what I do oppose to is people not paying attention. It just seems like people lose all sense of responsibility around the seasons because they want to give material things to the ones they love. And it's supposed to, I guess, represent how much they love these people. When it shouldn't be that way. It used to be, this is a new term that I came up with, yesteryear, meaning back in the day when our grandparents and our mothers were, the family celebrated Christmas and in the holidays. Everybody, it was all really about love and fellowship, the family coming together as one, to embrace one another, to love on one another, to share the joys of our life, of being together. But the society has become so removed from that simple practice of life. So I wanted to kind of, share with some of you some of the things that you could do for Christmas differently. One of the things that I came up with that we can do differently that, I don't know, some people celebrate Kwanzaa. And Kwanzaa, their practice, I'm not encouraging people to celebrate Kwanzaa, but I'm just sharing with you some of the practices that I know that they have, which I think is a very good practice. They give gifts, personalized gifts that people make from their heart. And I think those are some of the most priceless things that you can give to a person, something that you took time, spent time with, making from your heart, making yourself to give to someone that's very special to you. And those are some of that. I think that's a great way to save money on giving, especially when, the family unit is very large these days. You have the typical, family unit is about husband and wife and 3-plus kids, or just a single mom and maybe, 4 children. So that can be quite expensive trying to come up with all that money to purchase gifts for all of those children and the, family members. So I'm thinking that, this year for Christmas, why don't people decide to, in an effort to rearrange your financial status and get back on top of your finances and find yourself pulling yourself out of a financial hole, why don't you rearrange some of the things in your lifestyle, some of your spending habits? What do you think about that, Emmanuel?
I really think that's really great advice. Because usually we get caught up, from people that have the children and everything. It's very demanding that the kids, they want certain items. For example, like PlayStation 3 and very, expensive gifts, and they kind of, we kind of took the real meaning out of Christmas. And so I think that would be a good thing if people would consider practicing that as well.
Okay.
Trying to teach the kids, how to balance.
Right. Early on, my daughter, she's 18 years old now. And I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me. When she was first born, I will admit, I went absolutely crazy buying her so much things because she was my first child. I had a really good job. I was working for the Internal Revenue Service at the time. She was my only child. And everything I saw under the sun, I wanted her to have. But as years went on, I began to see that the first few years, she didn't even remember most of those things that she had received. So I decided that I would stop putting up a tree a huge, huge. I didn't include this. I went and bought the tallest tree that you can possibly buy for an infant child. The tree was so tall that it reached to the top of my ceiling. And when I sat back and thought about that, I said, this is absolutely crazy. And the tree somehow fell on my daughter when she was crawling. She first started crawling. I remember it so well. I went into the kitchen for a second, and the next thing I know, I heard a tree tumbling down, and I saw a little girl with her, you know, red dress on and red shoes crawling from under the tree, laughing with a smile on her face. Thank God she didn't get hurt. But it made me sit back and think that why would I get a child this small, a tree this large, and get her all these, I mean, the whole room was filled with gifts that she didn't even remember. And some of the things that she, you know, she never really played with as much, so I ended up giving a lot of things to other, you know, females that were having children that, you know, that needed some things. So I passed some of those things on. That was a good thing. But I thought about it, and I said, I did not want my daughter growing up thinking that Christmas was all about getting expensive things. So gradually, I began to just show her love and compassion, and I got her a few things. Nothing that was overbearing, that wouldn't financially strap me. Even though I had a good job, I overextended myself, and even though I was able to pay for those things, I overextended myself, and I find myself trying to work so hard to get overtime and things like that just to pay that debt down. And I find that, you know, a lot of people in America do those things because we want to please our children, and we think that those things, giving our children things, equate, shows how much we love them. And that's really not the truth. But in that practice, with me stopping putting up the tree, and I went to just putting up lights and kind of just putting light decorations around, but never a tree. Because, she was the only child. And, you know, we made our rounds to, you know, family and friends' houses. So she didn't miss anything because I still provided for her all of her life. Throughout her years, she never missed or wanted for anything. So that let me believe, and she is a very grateful child to this day. So parents, you know, anybody comes in the archives and listen to this, your children will not hate you for not getting them all of these material things. If anything, they will begin to thank you and appreciate you more and understand that mommy and daddy has expenses and the things that you do for them daily. They be like, you know, provide meals, a roof over their heads, food on the table. Those are the things that show that you love them each and every day. What do you think about that, Emmanuel?
I really think that you're really hitting it on point about as Americans, we're so caught up with material things that we kind of lose focus on what's really the most important thing, and that is, you know, trying to enjoy each other's moment that we have.
Absolutely.
Quality time with our families, and grateful that we have, you know, a job, place to live, health and strength. So that's what we should be grateful for the littlest things.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we put in, you know, indirectly, we make our children desire those things, and we put that, you know, added burden on ourselves indirectly without knowing it, because your children think, okay, I have to have the newest and greatest things. They get the pressure from from their peers wanting certain things. But there's a way to teach your own children how to appreciate what they get and what they have. And perhaps not, you know, I'm not saying totally take away the things that your children want for Christmas. What I am saying is be more smart about your spending. And so maybe designate a gift, especially a family that has 2-plus children. That's a financial, you put yourself in a financial burden when you try to buy gifts that you really can't afford. Of course you can buy them, but you can't afford them. That's a totally different situation. A lot of us can buy things, but we can't afford them. And what I mean is that it puts us in such a financial burden that we find in ourselves robbing Peter to pay Paul, so we can't make it, you know, to keep on top of the bills. And that's not a way to live. So I want to, one of my tips this evening is to re-strategize this Christmas, this season, what you're spending. Bring back the family union. I was talking about that on Sunday, a family. I think that if we go back to some of the old principles, and I know, don't get me wrong, I know it will not happen overnight, but I believe that if we begin to sit down, whoever, if it's just a single mom that's the head of the household, take control of your finances. Don't let your money control you. And the best way, one of the things that I came up with is the best way, and I kind of mentioned this before on a review that I did this week also on a book that I read, The 5 Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me. The best way to begin to approach your finances and understanding wealth, you know, what the wealthy do, they prepare and they understand where they are financially and they keep on top of that. And we can do the same thing. We do not have to, regular folks, and what I mean by regular folks, people who don't have millions in their bank account, we can live a fruitful life and have nice things with what we have, and as long as we understand how to manage those things. One of the things that I would say, the first step is to write your goals down. And kind of break that down into your short-term goals, your intermediate goals, and your long-term goals. And I'm going to suggest that how to also to attack that is to go out and order your credit report. There is a site, freecreditreport.com. Every year you are allowed to get your credit reports for free. The three major credit reporting agencies, is Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. There are others, but there are three major credit reporting agencies. And you can keep on top. What you can't get no better than free each year to order your credit report. All it takes is a little bit of preparation on your time just to get your finances under control. I get so disappointed in hearing America talk about how financially, we are financially sinking in America because of the economy. But and then they blame it on just the lack of jobs, and they blame it on the president. He's not doing what he's supposed to, or, you know, the governor or the, all of these people are not doing what they're supposed to. Well, my thing I say to that is they are only one person, and they are not the only people that contribute to the economy being bad. And I know people are not going to agree with me. I may get a little challenges with this, but just think about it. We all occupy this earth. We all contribute to the economy in some kind of way, whether we are consumers or whether we work or we, whatever we do, or whether we are business owners, inventors, or whatever it is, in some kind of way, we contribute to the overall condition of the economy. And I believe that if people begin to start at home, get back to the principles of, you know, sitting down as a family, whoever the head of household is, sit down and keep a record of you are financially, I think that you will begin to see some things change around in your life. And it's a bad, you know, I'm not uncompassionate about people that have lost their home to foreclosure, because, you know, it, sometimes things can just come upon you before you know it. But my, sometimes I feel that people could avoid some of those circumstances if they were, you know, paying more attention to what they were spending and what they were bringing in, and they would have been able to combat or at least not be, you know, suffer as much with the conditions of the market if they were truly watching their budget. Because it's so easy when you're making good money. It is so easy to say, well, I got the money to spend, so therefore we spend it. And when the economy begins to change and jobs are lost, we're stuck. We hit so hard because why? We did not sit down, prepare, and understand where we were financially. It does take a lot of commitment to be able to, you know, adhere to, you know, some instruction or structure in your lifestyle. That is a hard thing for people to do because, again, this is a society that is fast-paced, moving. Everybody's moving and shaking, and nobody's sitting down, taking a breather, whew, and paying attention to what's going on around them in their household, and on their jobs, in the economy. If you take time to breathe, you will begin to see what's going on and perhaps catch some of the things that come with a failed economy. But again, one of the steps, I feel that one of the steps that people can take is first, you know, paying attention, actually sitting down, writing down all of your expenditures, you know, how much you bring in, as opposed to how much you have to account for as far as your finances. If you sit down and really look at that very closely, you'll start to see, well, I need, maybe perhaps if I change this a little bit, this a little bit. And I think a lot of people could have saved their own homes if we were doing this a little bit better. And it's never too late. You know, if you have lost your home to foreclosure, it's never too late for you to start over, because once you start, you know, preparing, you can start now preparing yourself, writing down your goals. Even though people have foreclosures on there, they will be able to get homes in the future. All you have to do is to begin to work on your credit status and get those things that you have outstanding taken care of over time. And there are even some creditors that will work with a lot, even with the times like they are, there are creditors, because some of them are being hit hard as well, they will work with you and take some of that interest off just to get the principal paid. It is all about you picking up a phone, writing a letter, or being proactive in taking care of, you know, your financial status. Do you have anything to add to that, Emmanuel?
Well, I want to go back a little bit as it pertains to the holidays. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I would suggest to the listeners out there, if they're able, I think the best way to celebrate the holidays, this is what I usually do too, is volunteer some of your time at, like, the Salvation Army, or buy gifts, you know, for people that's in those shelters.
Absolutely.
That make you feel good about yourself, that you're doing something positive for someone else, and then also cheer up someone else that don't have the means to support themselves.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. That's something that I started a couple years ago. Sometimes when I would have a little extra money, I would just buy extra gifts and just give them away to strangers, not necessarily going to a facility. But and it works well for me and does make you feel very well about yourself. They weren't expensive gifts, but you just see the smile and the joy that it brings to a person that, you know, perhaps wasn't expecting a gift from anyone. And for a stranger to come up to them and give them a gift, all pretty and wrapped up and everything, and it's a priceless moment. And you don't do it for you know, to be seen or anything. Like, it's a lot of things that I do that I'm gonna tell people about, because it's nothing. I don't have the need to feel like, oh, I did this, or, you know, to be patted on the back for anything, but because God sees it. You know, that's all that matters to me. But I think that is such a wonderful idea, Emmanuel, because it's a priceless moment, and you never know how you're going to touch another person's life just by that small gesture. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I wanted to talk about this evening is for people to... let me talk a little bit more about the prison situation. I really, really want people to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying to take Christmas away from your children, but I am asking you to help them understand what Christmas is really all about, and how that it's not about really for us to be getting gifts, but to really be giving gifts. And perhaps if you get one item, not a multitude of things. This is too much out here. It's too much hardship. And I'm sure if you begin to teach your children and spend more time with your children during those seasons, they will begin to appreciate and love you for the love that you give them, not by the things that you give. So I just challenge anyone that's listening, all the listeners, to just focus this year on getting your financial status together. Because it's so important that to prepare for next year. I find so many people go into debt, and it's not a something that's going to change overnight. It's going to really require a person that is really willing to change. That's one of the questions that you really have to ask yourself. Are you willing and able to change your financial status for the good? You got to ask yourself these questions. And if so, are you willing to commit to financial success by following a budget? And I don't mean just a budget to say, oh, my God, to discourage you about where you are financially, because be prepared to see where you are, even if it's in a negative. Be prepared to, you know, receive that. And just know that you are on the right track by even just sitting down to even take a closer look to where you are financially. I'm going to connect our next panelists in. It seems that they're on the line, and we will continue our discussion. Again, you are listening to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am your host, Poetic Energy, and I have my panel with author Emmanuel Barbie, and we have Black Homeschoolers joining us. Black Homeschoolers, welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. Glad to have you this evening.
Thank you for having me.
We were just having the continuing this discussion from October 11, Understanding Wealth and Tips for Regular Folks. Just to bring you a little bit up to date on the show, we were challenging people this year to buy into the commercialism of buying expensive gifts for their children for Christmas, but teaching their children what the true meaning of Christmas is all about, not about material things or getting things, but actually giving.
Well,
and we're challenging people to financially look at their finances a little bit closer and not spend a whole lot of money on buying gifts for their children, but teaching them about love and peace and things of that nature, more tangible things that they can really grow from and be used wisdom from, as opposed to having expensive things that they will not pay attention to in the next few weeks after they get it.
Well,
what are your views on...
You really want to know my views?
Well, you're on the panel.
I have some opposing views as far as Christmas. Well, number one,
okay.
Our family did used to go all out for Christmas. That was one of the highlights of the year for us. But in recent years, we decided that wasn't something we wanted to participate in.
Okay.
We saw it for what it truly was, and it's just a debt trap for all of America. That's one of the worst times of the year. There's a high suicide rate, and I think with keeping it real, that's not something that I encourage in anything for a family to dive into at all. I agree with your views on just being loving and spending time and, you know, things of that nature. But unfortunately, in this country, we have become consumers, professional consumers. We spend more money than we make. Suicide rates are up. People try to do way too much. They buy their children things that they don't even deserve. And you have kids getting gifts, not even pulling in good grades. So I think we've been sold this whole Christmas thing. It not even really Christ's birthday, first of all. So that's the opposing view that I have, that it's not even Christ's birthday, but because everyone is so in tune with all of the propaganda and the media hype, they flood us. I mean, those advertising dollars are doing exactly what these big companies and corporations want it to do. It wants to trick the mind and cause people to go out and spend money that they don't have, running their debt high. A lot of people right now are losing their homes, but they will spend money to buy gifts. Now, I don't understand that type of thinking. I don't understand that type of thinking. We've taught our children early on what's more important. At first, there was a little resistance to us shutting down the whole Christmas thing. The kids didn't understand it. But as a matter of fact, one of their homeschool assignments was to research the origin of Christmas. And it was my oldest son who came back with the research that he'd found, and he was more enthused than we were in not celebrating Christmas after that.
Wow, that is phenomenal. You hear that, folks? Sometimes if we just let our children, black homeschool, I'm glad you brought that point out, because so many people that will come across this in archives, they are afraid to change the way they do things in their households with regards to Christmas, afraid that they're going to lose their children in the midst of, you know, the changes or disappoint them. But I think that if people will pay more attention to their children, they will understand that children would rather have love, especially good children, the children that desire to have it. You know, so many kids have parents that may perhaps buy them things but don't pay attention to them. And then you find them acting out because, you know, certainly they're being provided for, but they lack the love from their parents. And they much rather have that. So I'm glad you brought that point and that your son was able to come to that conclusion for himself. And that was a very good point. I'm glad you shared that, because I think people need to hear that you can kind of bring it to your children in such a way and allow them to come into the discovery of things and they will, make a decision in their heart.
Well, one thing, too, with the children of this generation that I've come to notice is that parents have conditioned their children. You do have some kids that, you know, would prefer to spend time with you, and they will accept not getting gifts or not celebrating certain holidays. But for those kids who have been conditioned to getting their way, whatever they want, that one is a little more difficult for parents who have allowed things to get too far. I think anyone who has very young children, don't even get them started. Don't even get them started with expecting things for Christmas. I have literally known people that would spend thousands on a single child for Christmas. And the children, they just don't appreciate things. You have kids screaming, crying, going to the stores. Mom is embarrassed because the kid can't get a simple item. So I think if parents don't condition their kids to begin with to expect all of these things, then they won't have these problems.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you agree that a lot of people blame the condition of the economy on just the president and the government in itself? But wouldn't you agree that we all play a part in how the economy is going?
Well, I certainly do agree with that. I certainly do agree with that, and this is my take on it. We all play a part because we've allowed ourselves to be brainwashed, first of all. When President Bush told everyone that the solution to our problems is go spend. That was the solution for the big corporations, but that wasn't the solution for the individual family. The family should have said, well, no, I'm not going to spend. I'm going to do what's the responsible thing for my family, and I'm going to spend my money budget-wise. I'm not going to go out here and blow my money on things that we don't need. And so I do agree that it's everyone's fault, because we as adults, we have we can make our own decisions. We don't have to get into mortgages that are too high for our pocketbooks, and we don't have to go into debt for certain things. Some people are professional credit gougers. They just spend money that they don't have because it's given to them. And I know this because when I turned 18, I was one of them. I was flooded with all types of credit card offers, and I accepted every last one of them. And within a few short years after that, I was in bankruptcy.
I have a question for you, black homeschooler.
Uh-huh.
Last time when we were on this panel, you mentioned something about hidden assets. You think, could talk about that before, the show ends tonight?
Well, sure. My idea of hiding assets, I kind of looked at what I've seen others do. As a matter of fact, there's a documentary out. I can't recall the name of it right now, but it deals with when and how the corporation formed. Okay, it actually came. It was actually something that was meant for slaves, freed slaves, that we would be considered persons. Okay, and so these business owners, they took that and they said, well, shouldn't our corporations be considered persons too? It's a very interesting documentary, but in this we did a lot of research and we discovered that a lot of rich people hide their assets, and on paper the individual person or owner may not have or own anything, but the corporation in which they oversee could have millions of dollars in stock. And it's a very simple thing to follow if you take the time to actually study upon this. There's lots of information. As a matter of fact, it's all Googleable, okay? But hiding your assets, number one tip I can give as far as your home, for instance, if you have a home that's mortgage-free, your home could be actually owned by your nonprofit organization. It doesn't have to be in your name, but it's still your home because you own the corporation. But the corporation itself is considered an individual person.
Black homeschooling, is there an advantage to doing that as far as putting your home in your nonprofit's name or your organization's name? Is there a tax advantage to that?
Well, the one advantage is I can tell you if it's a religious organization that owns your property, Your home can become tax exempt, especially if you're using it in your ministry somehow. If it's a ministry-owned home, if you have a church, your church could actually own the home that you live in, and then the property becomes tax exempt. So that's one of the major advantages that I know of. I don't claim to know everything, so I think that exemption is only for religious organizations.
Okay.
I could be wrong there, but I know for sure with a religious nonprofit that you could get your home in a tax exempt situation.
All right, that is a very good tip, actually, Black homeschoolers, because some people do serve a lot in the ministry. Some people even are licensed ministers and perhaps do work with their church, and that will be a great advantage for them if they do actively, support the ministry or are active in the ministry, for them to do something like that. And that will definitely be a way to release the burden off a person that owns their home, not having to worry about taxes. And I will iterate that you did say that it has to be mortgage-free.
Yes, as far as I know, it has to be mortgage-free because, first of all, most mortgage companies won't lend money on a private residence to a church organization or any type of a business. So it does have to be mortgage-free.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that out. I'm pretty sure of that, especially with me, having a background in the real estate industry, it's been very important to make sure that the listeners know exactly. But just like any information we give, it's Googleable.
Yes.
Also it's just, to your advantage, all the listeners, to research further for yourself. Our goal is just to give you information and get you thinking about some strategies and some ways that you can relieve your debt and find yourself walking in the path of becoming either less in your debt or becoming debt-free and well on your way to a wealthy and healthy lifestyle.
One other thing I heard earlier on the show, you all were talking about mortgages and people losing their homes, and we know that that's happening at an alarming rate. A few years back, my husband and I, we were a real estate investor, so we kind of learned a lot of things from one of the investors that we worked with. And one tip that he gave us, and I thought it was very interesting, as for a lot of the people that are in foreclosure, most people just walk away. They don't know what to do. Some of them stick it out and try to stay in the house till the last day, but one very good tip that we got from a mortgage lender, actually, and I'm not sure what the laws are in every state, but the state that we were making our purchases in, we were told that if you have been the victim of any type of predatory lending, I mean any type, whether they're overcharging you in fees, overcharging you in interest rates, or anything that deals with predatory lending, that you could actually tie up the process of your foreclosure by filing a lawsuit against the mortgage company that perpetrated this against you. This would actually buy you more time. And I heard you say that you're a real estate agent, Ms. Alford, so if you could maybe give a little insight on that. We got this from a mortgage lender that said these things.
I am pretty sure that that is accurate information, but the laws do vary from state to state, because a lot of people, like I reside in Michigan, and Michigan law says that even if a person's home is in foreclosure, after foreclosure, they still have up to 6 months, even after the sheriff's sale, to receive their properties.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people do not know those tad bits of information. So it's to your advantage. If you are in a foreclosure situation, that doesn't mean to find out what the laws are in your state, because it doesn't mean that you have to move out of your property right away. Some states may be 3 months, some may be 1 month, but I know for sure in Michigan it's 6 months. But there are various laws that address the issue of predatory lending, and that is accurate information that that you can challenge the mortgage, you know, the mortgage company, and they will have to look into it. They cannot, you know, they would have to address those issues. They just can't just blow it over. For instance, I deal with a lot of foreclosure properties, and I had a property that was on the market. They had already, you know, I deal with a lot of bank-owned properties, and the bank actually assigned the property to me to go onto the market, and the people had lost the home. The redemption date was over, and what happened was I had to strip the property, take the property off the market, because one of the owners, they were foreign people, and they have this thing with their last, you know, in some cultures, even though people are married, they have different, their last names are different. I don't know how that works, but these were a married couple, and they challenged the their foreclosure. So we had to strip the property off the market, and it's still going on now, that we cannot sell the property until all of that has cleared up. And I mm-hmm. think this is only a strategy, like you just mentioned, for these people to, you know, either try to regain entry into their property or to regain ownership. But they're challenging that they shouldn't even be in foreclosure in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the some of the information that I've received, they are... the bank is well in their right to, you know, foreclose upon the property, but the bottom line is, if a person challenges it, then
it has to be dealt with.
Yeah, it has to be dealt with. It's not, you just can't, they just can't, even though the bank technically owns the property because they did not pay their mortgage in a timely manner, they still have to address those issues and therefore cannot sell the property.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was exactly
the
point. Yeah, that was exactly the point I was trying to make, that this business associate of ours actually explained that a person could tie the bank up for, he actually gave a number of 7 years, depending on, because some court cases last that long, depending on how backed up the courts are, that if you actually file a lawsuit against the mortgage company that's trying to sue you, for the property, you could tie them up X amount of years, depending on the caseload of the court that's dealing with it. Because right now, my take on this whole predatory lending thing is, we all have witnessed something very, to me, very unfair, when our government decided to sign over hundreds of billions of dollars to these lenders. Okay, so in my book, they've already gotten their money back. Okay.
Absolutely.
So now I feel like they're getting their money back doubly because they're getting homes. It would have been more feasible for our government.
I'm glad you brought that point up, Black homeschoolers,
mm-hmm.
because when they did decide on that, I was thinking the same exact thing. Why couldn't, you know, as Americans, we work and we put into the economy. Why would the government choose to give directly to the mortgage companies all this money when they could have saved a lot of people's homes in the process and given this money, devised some type of program where people's mortgages were caught back up, and adversely the money was going to the mortgage company anyway, and they still would have been paying the mortgage company off.
Well,
you know what I'm
saying?
And
sold
a lot of people's homes in interim.
And it's no secret that our country is in favor of the big corporations, and so we're not, as people, we're not always on their minds in terms of I want to do what's right for the people. That's not always the thing that comes across their minds. They want to keep the corporations happy, and so the people suffer as a result.
May I add on that note, please?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I want to say that, yes, that's what American corporation is based on in the first place. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's about big businesses and profits. So it's the people that's on Wall Street that started all this mess in the first place that got us, you know, nearly to the second depression, the
Great
Depression, and, you know, our government, you know, is giving out, you know, auto loans and bank loans, but, you know, to Wall Street, but nothing to help really Main Street.
Right.
So that's why a lot of the voters are upset right now, you know, with the current situation that's going on.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's like we're being kept out of the loop in the decision-making process.
Yes, you're right about that. I wanted to bring up some other points to share with people about, you know, what they have. People that have, that perhaps may have a little bit of money saved. One of the tips that I gave out, I was discussing the book on the other day, giving a review on the book that I've read, The Five Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me for Women, about showing people how to invest in more than one thing. I have just a quick story I'm going to share. Just last week, I ran out of the house so quick, I left all that I had, my cell phone, my purse, everything. My car broke down, so I had absolutely no one to call, nobody, no money, no driver's license, no, I just say nothing. And my car broke down, so I had to walk to my destination until I was able to, you know, get in contact with someone. But it made me, just that little moment of that happening to me made me think about, I had my purse, my cell phone, my wallet with my ID, everything all in one bag. And you know what that made me think about? That we cannot have all of our eggs in one basket. Because
absolutely,
if you have all your eggs in one basket and you lose it, you're done, you're finished. And
mm-hmm.
I got that little thing, you know, light of wisdom from that circumstances.
Right.
And I wanted to share with people that in reading and even some of the research that I did, that people, there are ways that, you know, what we have from our resources that we should invest it in different things. 9/11 is a prime example. You know, no one ever knew that was going to happen. You know, that's another show, but you know, as far as we know. But you got that, Black Hulk?
Yes.
But everybody that had investments in whatever it was and lost millions and millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars, even people in our family were affected by losing, you know, their, you know, your total resources. But that made me think about that we should not, you know, as, you know, if we're trying to invest in things and grow our wealth, that we definitely should know and learn how to put our eggs in more than one basket. And I couldn't believe just that little simple incident that happened to me brought all of that to light for me. That, you know, you never know how God is just going to share some light or wisdom, give you, you know, fill you up with some wisdom. And that's kind of why I want to share with people that a lot of people may invest in stocks, bonds, and but there are a lot of things that you can do to grow your wealth, but it takes for you to do some research and some homework. And certainly we will have other shows that will, we can perhaps share some of those, you know, possible things with you. But the wealthy, that is one of their practices. The wealthy, they find many ways to add to their wealth by growing their nest egg and by putting their investments in multiple places. Therefore, if one of them goes south, then they're still financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If they lose in one area, they still have a nest egg in place in many different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that is so important to, you know, have a good practice of learning how to divide your money up evenly in different places where, you know, if a dollar here, a dollar there, and you never know where it'll end up. But you do know this, that you will never be without, because you have something else, another egg in another nest somewhere. So I kind of wanted to bring that out. And I want to share another story with people. There are so many ways that you can begin to change financial situation around. I have a practice that I do in my home. Every time I break a dollar, I save all the change that I get from breaking that whole bill.
Mm-hmm.
And one particular time, I just started saving it in a vase just to challenge myself, really. And I had saved up so much money there. I don't know if they have it in every area, but in the supermarkets they have this coin machine where you can bring all your coins and put it in this machine, and it'll count all that money up.
Right.
And I could not believe it was, you know, over a few hundred dollars worth of change just from breaking a dollar bill, or, you know, keeping change.
Money you didn't
that,
even realize you
know,
you had.
Exactly. Insignificant, but I was saving that not knowing that I had accumulated. And accumulation is a good word that the wealthy use. They accumulate wealth. And I had this money growing before I even realized how much I actually had.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are this is a practice that a person can use that, because you won't even miss the change, because most of us like to have dollar bills. But if you're just, you know, putting this change in this little jar or this little vase or whatever you have to put change in, and before you know it, you have grown a nest egg that you thought you didn't even realize you had.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to share that with you because I wanted to share that because it's so easy to show people how easy it is for you to save a little money. Even if there are hard times that you're dealing with, there are so many strategies to kind of help yourself along the way. And I ended up needing that money for something and didn't realize that I had saved that much money.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if people did that on a regular basis and just didn't even touch it. And, you know, because who's going to look for change? No, nobody really say, well, let me find all the change I got.
Yeah.
That's why it was so easy. Go ahead.
I was going to say that we have a similar practice as well with the change. We do accumulate big jars of change, and I think that's a good habit to teach children. And it's always something you can go back to, take it to the bank, get penny rolls or quarter rolls, and you have spendable money. You can pay small bills, fill up your gas tank. These are just simple things that anyone can do. But more importantly, in this economy, I think we need to really see what's important that we spend our money on. I think too many people spend money on nonsense things, in my opinion, you know, things that we really don't need. And I think there's no preparation at all for the rainy day, as they call it. No preparation for that. There's a saying that most people are just one paycheck away from being homeless, and I do believe that because I see a lot of frivolous spending. Hair, nails, shoes, outfits, you name it. These are the things that Americans are wasting their money on, and it's almost as if we are kind of blind to what's happening in our economy. Things don't seem to be getting better. They only seem to be... our government is masking the problem, okay, and the people are basically falling for that. And what I would like to see is more people wake up and decide to make steps towards securing their own future and not being so dependent on this system that seems to be failing right before our eyes.
I so agree with you because this is the point of this show, because to get people to see that we all have to do our part in changing our circumstances. We can't just rely on President Obama to do it all.
Right.
He's only one man, and really, it really isn't his fault. You know, he walked into the fire.
Yes, he did.
And now the flames are...
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So it's we all, the America plays a part in everything. You know, it has a role. Everybody has a role in everything, and I think that it, when people begin to realize that they have to take control of their own finances themselves and their own circumstances themselves, then they'll be less likely to, you know, blame somebody else or to point the finger to somebody else. And, you know, you got to be innovative in this economy. If you got a family, don't take the coward way out. You know, and I hate to use the word coward, but it is some people are resorting to. You know, it's unfortunate, but you know, checking out of the world and taking their families with them because of they don't know what to do and they feel like they have no other options but to, you know, take themselves out. But we do have options. America has so many resources available to us, and we just have to do our part to find out what those resources are. And that's why I appreciate and want to do these shows, because much information that I can find and share with people, and I hope that the information can kind of give people some insight or some inspiration to say, or motivation to say, yeah, I need to take care of and change my own circumstances, my own situation, on top of praying and trusting and believing in God for direction and things of that nature. And I think that, you know, if America would take that stand for themselves, that they'll find themselves changing. Things will change in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. But I do think that I do think that society, when I say society, I'm speaking of our government. I do think that some things were strategically done. In all fairness to the American people, this situation was thrust upon us, and as a result, we see a lot of people suffering for this. And I don't think that our government can be held blameless. The people can't be held completely blameless either, because we do have choices and options. We don't have to go into debt. We don't have to run up our bills living beyond our means. But at the same time, our government did allow these predatory lenders to come in and do this to the American people. I do have to speak on behalf of the people on Main Street, because I'm one of them. And so in all fairness to the people, I do think that this situation was thrust upon them. A lot of times when you have a person who is going to refinance their home to take equity out for this reason or that reason, they don't expect to be robbed at the closing table. But that's exactly
Absolutely.
What happens in many cases. If a person, I've been in a situation as a real estate investor where the mortgage company or the guy, the loan officer, was actually taking more than we were as the homeowner. So I've seen this firsthand, that these people are sometimes snakes, and our government allowed this. So I have to
Absolutely.
Speak for the American people in that when you are in a situation where you need that money that day and someone changes the terms of the agreement that you thought you were going to get, sometimes when your back is against the wall, you just sign on the dotted line. When
Absolutely.
You were expecting to get a mortgage rate of 7% or 8%, and then you, after 2 months, sometimes 3 months of waiting to close a deal, then they present you with a much higher interest rate of 9 or 10%, most people just accept that because they've been waiting for so long already. So I think there's a lot of blame to be pointed to those that are high up, and we can't necessarily say, well, the people should have made better decisions. Well, what if your
right.
only decision was to sign for that mortgage because you've waited for so long and you need that money? So,
right.
That's just one view.
Yeah, that is. In a sense, in certain circumstances, I do agree that a lot of people backs are up against the wall, and so they do just sign without giving any thought what the consequences will be further on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it goes back to something that we had said earlier with people preparing. If they sit down to prepare and took a closer look at their finances, sometimes they can avoid some of those circumstances, even getting in some of them, by always putting, and these are some of the things that wealthy people do, they always pay attention to where they are financially today, tomorrow, and the next day. So
well, I think it's easier. It is definitely easier for wealthy people to do that. But the scenario that I gave was a person whose back is against the wall, and that's not the case.
Right.
That's not the case with a wealthy person. They have money to burn, so they can go out and splurge and do this and not have to think about something. Whereas a person who may have a spouse who's passed, or lost a job, or someone who may be disabled, and they're looking to refinancing their home as a last resort, that's obviously a person who was put into a situation beyond their control. So therefore, to say that they didn't prepare or didn't make preparations, some people are living from paycheck to paycheck, and it's very
Absolutely.
Difficult for them to save even $10 a month. You know, most of us are overextended. Overextended meaning that we've already gone over our limit. And so the balance of our bills are being covered by what? Credit cards or something of that sort. So when a person has...
You don't believe that it's, as an individual, as the head of a household, it isn't your responsibility to look at those things ahead of time.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I agree with you that a person should look at their financial situation and try to forecast what needs to be done. But at the same time, the scenarios I'm speaking of are people who have very limited resources. And for a person with limited resources and already overextended, not even making enough money to cover certain bills, or something tragic happens, a spouse is lost or a job is lost, an injury occurs. I'm speaking for those people, not really the person who's had an opportunity to save $500 a month, but they chose not to. But I literally know people who barely make enough money to pay their current month's bills. So for that person, preparation is not possible. And the only other preparation I could say that they could do is try to minimize bills, cutting off the cable, doing without things that you can possibly live without. But if we look at the average American right now, some of them are living with relatives as a result of not being able to put money aside for a rainy day.
Right, absolutely.
Is it okay if I can just make a point on that, please?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I've been seeing in the news that the politicians are trying to bring back something about the Bush's tax cuts, and that's good for people that's on Main Street, but it's, you know, I would say that 2% or 5% of the wealthiest income people, they want a tax break as well, and I still see that as being income inequality right there. You know, I mean, they have enough money to get by on, but it's the people that's on Main Street are the ones that's really going to bring back this economy, because we're going to spend money if we have more of it, you know, in that spending pool.
Right. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's certainly, I can't have any concern for what goes on with the rich, because, like you said, they are already making lots of money. They have overflow. And it's not them that actually carry this country. It is the people on Main Street that carry the country.
Right.
And if Main Street is jobless and homeless, then that's what's going to cause this economy to crash. And either our government doesn't know that or they want the economy to crash, because I can't understand the way things are flowing and functioning right now.
You have to know that the things that's going on with America, it always has a reason why it's been going the way that things are going. And you, like you said earlier, the regular folks are not considered in the equation, but we are the main part of the equation, because we are the regular consumers. We are the people that's constantly spending, people that have a lot of money. Yes, they spend, but they don't constantly buy the things on a regular basis. They buy all this big ticket items, and it may be one or two items, but we're constantly spending daily, and we are hit the hardest, and we're less provided for, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, frankly, I think this is the time for Americans to start considering what to spend their money on, and I don't think this Christmas should be lived like previous years where we're overspending. I personally don't think any money invested in Christmas is a good idea, because that's where a lot of people go into debt, and it makes no sense to repeat this cycle year after year. It's like, how many times do you have to go into debt during Christmas to realize that this is not the way to go?
Absolutely. I am so glad you brought that point out, because it is a cycle, and it keeps on going and going, and it's never going to break until someone decides that I want to change my condition.
It's almost like people are robots during that season.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. You have grown men and women trampling Walmart workers just to get a particular item. We saw something recently on that. To me, that's ridiculous, that you have to have this so badly for your child, who was probably very mischievous throughout the year to begin with, but you're willing to trample someone to death to get an item for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
Absolutely.
No sense.
Just think of how people would change that mentality around and apply that same energy into preparing for their future or securing their future, then it would be, less people, losing their homes and going, committing suicide and things of that nature because of debt. When you think about it, it's debt. It's almost like a death threat, to a lot of people who can't handle the pressure from having debt.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to look at that more carefully, look at that more closely, because just in recent times, I've heard so many cases in the news where people have checked out of this world because they couldn't take the pressure of debt or the embarrassment from their neighbors knowing that they could no longer afford to fit into the world of the Joneses, so to speak,
One story that I really like, it's a very simple story, is The Millionaire Next Door. This is a story of someone who has money, but you wouldn't know it because they live like an average person. But sadly, you have your neighbors, your average neighbor, who lives abnormally, meaning out of their own budget, living high on the hog, but they can't afford it. It's better
Absolutely.
To be in the position of being the millionaire next door, where you have live a nice, quiet life, but you're saving your money. You're not spending it on frivolous things or things that mean nothing, but you're actually investing, quietly investing, or saving up, or putting it aside for family or whatever. Some people just have that mindset. As a matter of fact, I think there's a few in our neighborhood here that there's been rumors that they are millionaires, and you wouldn't know it by the way they live and walk in the community. But too many Americans, I tell you, they are overspending, overliving, and they need to just calm down and think about their children, think about the future.
I would like to add. I would like to add on that, please.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I would recommend to the listeners out there too to don't be ashamed to consider talking to a financial counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to work with someone one on one. A lot of us are, you know, too proud, you know, to seek financial help.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then, you know, when it's, you know, when we're sinking in debt, then that's when we want to start crying foul.
Right, right. Yes. That's good advice. To talk to professionals. There's a lot of free services out here who will sit down and talk with you and actually help you work through your debt. I think, though, debt is a frame of mind, because some people, they get out of it and go right back into it. So there's a mindset that has to change, too. If you alleviate yourself of your debt, don't look to go back into it. It's almost as bad as a gambling habit can be.
Yeah.
Spending money that you don't have.
Yes. I want to mention
that, go ahead, I'm sorry,
that's okay. I want to mention that some people, I'm a little ashamed to say this, but I just want to just be honest about this. Some people say that some of my friends say that I'm frugal.
Mm-hmm.
But I try not to front when I'm with them. You know, if we're hanging out and stuff like that, you know, I let them know up front that, hey, I'm on a budget, I can't do this and that, you know.
Good.
Right.
That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing at all to be ashamed of. More people should have that mindset. There's nothing worse than a person who doesn't have the money to pay for something, but they are fronting, as you said, and they buy it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want to share this is a story that something that I did several years ago. When I used to work, I was, I think I was 18 or 19, and I used to work in the mall. And this is my math. This is how I know that you guys are on point when you say that it's a mindset as far as wanting to save and wanting to, save a nest egg for yourself. But this particular story, I had my eyes on this leather dress, like a suede leather dress. I kept going back just about every week until that it was like almost a $200 skirt. But I did not want to spend that money, that kind of money for a skirt. But at the time, I could afford it because, like, I had like 21 credit cards at that time at a very young age. But I kept going back and back and back until that skirt went down to, I don't remember the exact price, but I spent nowhere near. And even the people that worked there, they began to know me personally because they said it's still on the rack. Every time I would come on the store, they said it's still on the rack and it's going down, and they would tell me that it's going down next week, so if you want to wait, you know. So, and sure enough, by the time that dress got back to where I was willing to spend that money for it, I had my skirt at almost more than half off the dress.
Mm-hmm.
But I shared that story because it was my mind. I was conditioned to do this thing and not to spend top dollar. I wasn't ashamed to say that I was working on the budget because I was a budget-minded person, even at a young age, even though, you know, I did get off track. But even at a young age, I was a budget-minded person, but I had to have the will and the commitment to not spend a certain amount of money, even though I could afford to. You know what I mean?
Yes. Did you know that a lot of Americans actually take pride in spending more? They would love to have said that I spent $200 for this dress. I think it's more important, the story that you just shared with us, is more important to say that I got a $200 dress for half off than it is to say I spent $200 for this dress. But a lot of people actually take pride in wasting money like that.
Yes. it's a thing that they want. It's an ego thing. It's a bragging thing. But yes, I felt better and proud of myself for being able to wait that long, to spend less money and still got the same result. I still felt like $1 million and did not pay that much.
Yes.
I think it's a lot of times, and reading one of the books that I read recently, again, that Five Lessons a Millionaire taught me, it talks about wealthy people buying clothes on consignment. They pay for used clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are ashamed to buy secondhand clothes when there's nothing wrong with that. You can, because it
you're looking at Mrs. You're looking at Mrs. Secondhand Shopper here. I have no problem with that. With all the children we have, I have no problem with that at all.
Absolutely. Because a person, those people who will scrutinize a person for, you know, buying secondhand clothes, I will tell you, they may be flashy, but I will almost guarantee that they are living paycheck to paycheck, and they will not have a dollar to their name in their bank account to show for anything that they're doing. And that's one of the things that, because they, in this book that I was reading, that wealthy people, they're not flashy, they are very frugal, and they do live a more simpler life, but they enjoy nice things because they can, but they don't always spend top dollar to do that. They spend money wisely. When people, just because people have flashy cars, big elaborate homes, doesn't mean that they're wealthy. Because a lot of those people who have flashy cars and big homes, almost getting to the point where they almost gonna have to live in their car because they're trying to keep up an image that they can't afford to keep up. You know what I mean?
Well, boy, don't get me talking about the wealthy. Don't get me talking about the wealthy.
I'm talking about real wealthy people. Because people consider wealthy people, you know, who have all these big, elaborate things, and that's not necessarily a wealthy person. That's what that book was trying to bring out. The Five Lessons a Millionaire taught me some of the things that they were talking about. That's not necessarily a wealthy person. That's a person with a whole lot of material things.
Yeah.
A wealthy person don't have to worry about money because they keep on top of their finances. They have the money to spend, but they don't necessarily spend it to show off.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a huge difference from a person who has money, but they're living on the edge. They're almost getting ready to jump over the cliff because they're trying to keep up this image, you know?
Yeah.
But we have 7 more minutes left in the show. The discussion has been going great. And I've just been loving that, you know, because I feel like a person that listens to this will be able to, you know, borrow from some of the wisdom and be able to apply this in their lives. I did want to bring out a couple of more things. We talked about earlier, you're beginning to write your goals down in 3 steps, you know, your short-term goals, your intermediate goals, and your long-term goals. Purchasing or ordering your credit report and kind of visualizing, like author Emmanuel had said, that if you don't feel like that you have the strength or the knowledge to really understand financially what you're looking at, seek the advice of a professional. Seek out some free services, because there are a lot of free services. Perhaps later on in another segment, we'll come back with some of those free services that you can seek financial, you know, help from different advisors in your community, because there are, across the globe, there are various areas that have free services that you can take advantage of to get somebody to overall look at your finances with you to help you get on track to you know, understanding where you are financially, perhaps putting you on the track of gaining the wealth that you so desire. So I just challenge everybody that's listening that to be start by ordering your credit report from freecreditreport.com, or checking out the three major credit reporting agencies: Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And all of that information is Googleable. And this is your beginning point, is to write everything down, see where you are visually, seek the financial help of an advisor, seek some free services, because, they can be pretty pricey, for financial help, but there are some community services that are available to you that will help you kind of get a grasp on your finances, and at least they will get you started and kind of put the right path, and they will give you the direction to go in to take the necessary steps. And we will continue to do shows like this and bring you information that we find on the resources. And I'd just like to recap about Black Homeschool is bringing to our attention how we can take advantage of hiding our assets. We will talk more in other sessions about that. One of the points that was brought out is about being able to have your nonprofit, put your home in your nonprofit's name for religious reasons. And if you, use that for religious reasons, that you will be tax exempt. So that's one way of kind of taking control of your finances, because taxes can be quite expensive on houses these days. So that will kind of help some help you financially, take a financial burden on you if you don't have to pay taxes. And of course, we're giving advice not to shut the government or anything, but to kind of give you the advice that if you are truly in the ministry, to use that advice, because that's available to you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that. If you are experiencing foreclosure at this time, there are various resources, and they vary from community to community. But seek the help of someone that knows, maybe a realtor. I wouldn't say a mortgage person, because they may not always give you the right information, especially if you're in foreclosure. There are options that you have. Find out from your state how long, if your home goes into foreclosure, if you have what time period you have to redeem your property, if any. You can contact your mortgage company to find out if they have a loan modification option to help you out to keep you from going into pre-foreclosure. But if you have any questions, we have 2 minutes remaining in the show. We will continue to do these Understanding Wealth and Tips for Regular Folks on every second and fourth Monday. We will have various people on panel. We will continue to have author Emmanuel Barbie, as well as Black homeschoolers, giving their advice. And we're just hoping that this will be some very helpful information to you, and we challenge you to this season to better take care of your finances. Don't go out and buy $1 million worth of toys that you know you cannot afford. You have been listening to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. We thank you for tuning in. We thank all of those who did stop by, and we so appreciate you, and we hope you continue to support the show and come out in future segments and perhaps call in and join in the conversation or ask questions. This has been the Poetic Energy Radio Show. Thank you, Arthur Emmanuel Barbie. Thank you, Black Homeschoolers. I so appreciate you guys for being on panel this evening.
Thank you, too.
Your advice and your wisdom is always welcome here. So I'm going to say good night, because time for us to go. God bless you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thanks.
Good night.
Enjoy the show.
endures forever. Now come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody.
Come on, bless them now. Say, Lord, you are good.